Live from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studio, it's The Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Not to be confused, George, with unactual. We want the real thing here at Ramsey Solutions.
Isn't that all of social media?
Of course. Well, you're right about that. Man, I'm your host, Jade Warshaw, and of course, joined to my right by the $6 million man, George Camel.
Now we're just straight up lying to the people.
The bionic man.
Hey, I'll take it.
I love to find new ways to introduce George so that people really see him in the grandeur that he demands.
I always wait with bated breath to see what adjective you'll use today.
I actually looked that one up ahead of time, the $6 million man. Give us a call. The number is 888-825-5225. And of course, we want to talk to you about your life, your money, what's going on in your world, what is going on in your current situation. Nothing's off limits as far as it comes to money, right? Give us a call. Let's talk about it. Let's go to Ben. He's in Salt Lake City, Utah. What's going on, Ben?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I just had a question about our rental situation. My wife and I are living in Utah, of course, and we currently are renting basically a suite where we're watching my wife's grandpa's house.
Okay.
We were renting from him for really cheap, and it seemed like a sweet gig until they informed us that the HOA was 55 plus, and previously they hadn't said there would be any issues with us living there, but now they're kicking us out in about a month or two.
The curmudgeons on the HOA.
Right.
Someone like were you guys that said, I don't like these young whippersnappers around here.
Yeah, right. We're throwing mad parties and they
get off my lawn.
Right. Yeah, just smiling and waving at all the people who want to grind up.
Oh man. So
that's a bummer.
What's this mean for you? Because if you are breaking the HOA guidelines, I mean, they do have the, if it is what you say it is, they do have the right to.
Did you have anything in writing saying you could live there and for how long?
No, to be honest, I don't believe there's anything like that. We were just told by our grandpa that he had talked to them and that everyone he had spoken to had shown that there wouldn't be any problem with it, but I don't think there's anything in writing. We're planning on moving. It's just now a question of whether we should rent or buy, and it's just, I can't figure out which would be a better solution, so we're hoping to run it by you.
How much time are they giving you before you have to vacate the premises?
So they told us we have to have something figured out, which is kind of vague. They told us we have to have something figured out by the start of July, like July 8th or something.
That's no time. Wow, these old folks ain't playing.
So what's your financial situation? Do you guys have any debt? Do you have any savings?
Right. So right now we're making about $50,000 to $52,000 a year. We have down payment of $30,000 or $25,000 saved up, as well as emergency savings of above $8,000. It's roughly 5 months of savings.
And that's with your current expenses, though, right? Which is very minimal.
Yes. Right.
So we'll have to increase that and use some of the down payment funds to cover the emergency fund. Mm-hmm. So let's call it $25K for the down payment. The rest is emergency fund, and you have no debt.
Yes. No debt.
Okay. What are the prices in that area? I imagine, are you in the Salt Lake City area?
So a little bit north of Salt Lake is kind of what we're looking at, Layton, Ogden, somewhere around there. So it's generally, we're not seeing anything in the housing market for less than $300,000 or $250,000, mm-hmm. And it starts getting pretty rough in that range. And then on top of that, the renting market, we're not seeing anything comfortable. We checked out some apartments around here.
Yeah.
Not seeing anything we'd feel comfortable with below $1,300.
Are you guys both working full time?
I'm working full time and in school, but school's being covered by FAFSA. My wife is working part-time and watching her brother, her special needs brother, on the side.
Mm. I'm wondering if we can increase the income if you're going to be, you have increased expenses coming up, whether it's rent or mortgage. So that needs to be part of the picture. And so I don't know who, it sounds like that would be on you to increase the income with her obligations currently.
Yeah.
But you're also in school, which makes it tough. How much longer do you have in school?
I think another year or two. I was looking at graduating winter 2025.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, when you do purchase the house, we want to make sure that it's something that you can enjoy, that it's not setting you back, that you're not house poor. And so we want to make sure whenever you do buy that you're able to put the right amount of down payment on something that's a 15-year fixed rate mortgage, right? And we don't want the payment to be any more than 25% of your take-home pay. That's taxes, HOA fees, insurances, all that factored in, right? So that's what we're aiming for. So at this point, it's really just you guys getting out there and seeing what you like, what you don't like, what you think you can afford, and really putting a timeline on yourselves. Because it's not to say that you have to move directly into a house right now. If you're not ready, then it's not the right time. And in your situation, there's no shame in renting. Renting sounds like, honestly, at this point, it might be the move until you can save up some more money and keep looking in different areas. I mean, when it comes to safety, I want you guys to live someplace safe, but this is the point of renting, is to be able to save up. This is, it's like Dave says, it's camping, right? This is not the life of luxury in your rental. It's to get you somewhere. It's a vehicle to get you where you want to go ultimately, which is being a homeowner. So there's something to be said for that, right, George?
Yeah. What's your take-home pay right now? Oh, he's gone. We lost.
Sorry about that, George.
It's all good. Well, I'm looking at the numbers here on our mortgage calculator, and I'm going, all right, if they put even $90,000 down on a $300,000 house, that payment's going to be, you know, $2,100.
Yeah.
And so your take-home pay has got to be close to $8,000 at that point.
Yeah.
So that worries me because they said they're making 50. It tells me they're just not ready to be homeowners, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It tells me, all right, there's some things we can do now. Number one, we need to wait and save up more. Number two, we need to get our income up.
Yeah.
And so if we can get our income up to 75 and put that extra 25 towards the down payment, now we're cooking with gas. Because otherwise, it's going to be a slog to try to save up $3,000-$5,000 a year towards the down payment.
Yeah.
Home prices keep going up. It feels impossible.
That's
And so if you're going to live in a high cost of living area, you got to have a high income to go along with that. And that's just math. That's not me trying to be mean. And so you got to move, but you might have to move further out.
And again, we go back and we've talked about this before. Right now, and at all times, there's these things that we want in life, right? We want to be the stay-at-home parent. We want to pursue home ownership. There are these milestones in life that we all want to achieve, and that's perfectly fine, but you have to be able to afford it, right? People say all the time, when's the best time to buy a house? Is it when the market is like this? Is it when interest rates are like this? No, it's when you can afford it.
And
that's
the
best time to buy a
house. Everyone has a different definition of afford. And some people's definition is, it's okay if I can't put food on the table as long as I live in this box that I kind of own. Yikes. Recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
you
that's
want the
scary
home to be
stuff.
A blessing and not a burden.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if Ben follows the advice that George Camel so beautifully laid out, he too will accomplish the dream of home ownership in due time. But for him, a key component of that is getting that income up, which is probably the case for many folks listening right now. But stay in the race. Keep putting that money aside. The time is going to pass. Anyway, this is The Ramsey Show. Hey, what's going on, everybody? You are listening to The Ramsey Show. I'm your host today, Jade Warshaw, joined by George Camel, host of the Poppin' YouTube channel.
Wow.
Yeah, George
That's
Camel.
A descriptor.
Yeah, all you got to do on YouTube is go in and just Google George Camel, right?
With a
and
K.
With a K,
it'll
that's
show
right.
Up. And it'll
show right up.
My friendly face. And we're having fun, Jade. I did some, we did a video on travel hacks yesterday. As everyone starts to travel for the summertime.
Ooh,
I shared
I like
my
it.
Top 10. Some good goodies in there.
Can you give us a little taste of what one of them
might be? I'll
tell
you how it ended. And the last tip was me showing you how to fly with luxury. I'm talking, you got to have the noise-canceling headphones.
Yes.
You
got
to have, one is like a little flip-flap you add to the little seat.
Yes.
So that you can put your phone up there. Because I see everyone struggling to watch their movie and put it somewhere where it's not falling.
I love that. Can you
inflatable headrest. That's a big one.
Yes. Can you advise us on how to keep the person in the middle seat in their space instead of spilling with their feet in their bag and their chips onto your seat?
The first 30 seconds are everything. That is where you assert dominance.
Yes.
So you got to command the elbow space and let
puff
them know
up.
What's up. Yeah, I puff up like a blowfish on a Southwest flight. The other move you can do is just give a little cough. That usually will get them to go, I'm going to keep going.
Can I tell you the truth? I tried that. I did that. Old girl was really just getting into my space. Look, let it be known, if you're sitting in the middle seat, you do have access to both armrests. That is a given.
I've heard that as an unspoken rule.
But if you start putting your feet over into my side, and so I started coughing, and all she did, she pulled up her blanket over her nose like a mm-hmm. mask, but she didn't move her foot.
I had one where like the woman put all of her hair behind the chair right in front of my face. And I was like, this is not okay with me.
So as you can see here on The Ramsey Show, we will talk about anything that we need to talk about, but we like to talk about money. That's really what the show is about. So give us a call. The number is 888-825-5225. We're talking about money. We're talking about travel hacks, apparently, and how to keep the middle seat person in their lane. Connor from Jacksonville, Florida. What do you know about it, Connor?
How are you guys?
Doing good. How can we help?
So the question I had is I'm trying to figure out how to get my girlfriend on board with budgeting now that we've kind of moved in together.
Okay.
What do you mean kind of moved in together?
That's a good question.
We first moved into my mom's place. She moved in with me, and then we just got an apartment back in January. So finance has been like a big struggle of ours and mm-hmm. trying to get her on board with like either every dollar or baby steps. It's been almost impossible.
What is her, is she just like, no, I don't think that I should have to live in the, what she probably feels are confines of a budget. Is that kind of where her head's at?
Kind of. Yeah. So she finally got like a pretty good paying job mm-hmm. and her parents just never taught her how to budget. They never budgeted. Mm-hmm. So it's not really anything that she was ever taught or shown how to do.
That makes sense.
And she kind of just like, oh, as long as I pay my bills, I'm fine.
Does she have debt?
Yes. All so right now, it's about $2,000 on a credit card and then about $24,000 in a car loan.
Okay. And you and have no debt?
I have some debt. I have a car loan right now and then about $100 on a credit card from gas.
How much is your car loan, by the way? I just curious.
My car loan's about $17,500 is what I owe on it.
And you're done with debt at this point?
Yeah, well, I just haven't spent on my budgeting for the day. I just got paid.
But I mean, like the concept of debt, you're like, I don't want to be debt free anymore. Like, I don't want to take on debt anymore.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. So it sounds like you guys have got to sit down and have some lengthy conversation because right now you guys have a different set of values. And it's not mm-hmm. just as simple as me and George going, if you read this script, she'll say yes tomorrow to the budget. It's you guys sitting down and saying, okay, we're living together. We're thinking about getting married, or hopefully we are about to get married. And before we get married or before we get any deeper into this relationship, we've got to see that we have similar values on how to live life. Because honestly, when it comes to money, it filters into so many areas of life. This is an exercise on how we view life, right? When it comes to money. And so you would not want to enter into marriage. And in my mind, even starting to live with somebody is very shaky ground. If you don't see how to live life eye to eye, it's religion, it's money. Those are some of the biggest factors in how well a marriage is going to play out, how you raise your kids, what are your philosophies on that. Those are the things that you need to be talking about with somebody that you're thinking about marrying, and for sure somebody you've already moved in with. So what do those mm-hmm. conversations look like?
So we've talked about budgeting in the past. Her big thing right now is just she's trying to get her credit card paid off.
Okay.
So she's been putting like $500-$600 a paycheck towards it. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure out if we should just keep putting a lot of money in savings and making like $200 or $300 payments.
What do you mean we? Are you saying you're helping her pay this down?
I'm kind of like helping her figure out how to pay it down.
With her own money?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're not sharing money, just to be clear.
Yeah, we only share like grocery money and rent pretty much. That's it.
So you're splitting the rent, splitting the food?
Yes.
Okay. And let me just say, in case you were thinking of it, do not split your money. Like, don't combine your money. Don't pay off her debt. She doesn't pay off your debt. Let's just keep that clear.
I feel the tension building because we took a call yesterday where a couple was playing house like this. They weren't married. All of a sudden, she can't work or doesn't work, and now he's covering her bills and paying her debts, and it was a messy, messy situation. And so I don't like this idea. Moral issues aside, I don't like the financial implications of living together before you're married. But As far as getting her, you asked about how to get her on board budgeting, and it comes down to her wanting to take control of her money. And it sounds like right now she's like, well, I pay my bills, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think you showing her, here's what budgeting has done for me. Here's what mine looks like. Here's what it's allowed me to do. Here's all the things I've seen that I'm overspending on. I found out I can save money by doing this. I feel in control because I'm giving every dollar a name. That's the stuff that makes you go, I'm excited to budget. Because the budget's not exciting. What the budget can do for me financially, that's exciting.
Yeah. And and I'm gonna be Mama Jade for a minute, because I gotta say this. You can't change folks. You can lead by example, like what George is saying. You can, you know, hope that they get on board by watching what you're doing and seeing the impact it's making on your life. But when it comes to relationships, you can't change folks. And I would advise kind of putting a little bit of time limit on this and kind of seeing like, hey, I'm gonna put this out there and I'm gonna see what her reaction is. But after a while, if old girl is still not on board, you're gonna have to see how that lines up with your values and what you want out of life and how you view money. And if you start, if she's like, hey, I'm fine with this, it's not important to me, it's not something I want to do, you're then gonna have to decide what that means for the relationship moving forward. Because let me tell you, these are things that matter. You want to go into a relationship. You want to go into a marriage with someone that you see eye to eye with.
Money fights and money problems, one of the leading causes of divorce in America today. So we just don't want that for you, Connor. And I want you to get out of debt. And I think her seeing you actually do this stuff and be a man of your word will go a long, long way, more than you telling her, you got to do a budget. You should really. Her seeing you become debt free a year faster than her with having more debt, she's going to go, what? Tell me what you did.
Uh huh.
Now, what is her income? Okay. I'm curious.
So my income's right about $46,000 to $48,000 a year, depending on what I work overtime wise.
Okay.
And then hers, I don't know what her yearly is because her hours are weird, but her take home every month is $4,400 after tax.
Okay. Okay, good. So yeah, this is just kind of monitoring the situation, right? You're being tactful about how you're talking about it. You are having open conversation and ask direct questions, right? Don't skate around this. Be like, what's her name, by the way? Well, you don't have to say her name. Let's call her Jennifer. Jennifer, what do you think about debt? Jennifer, I want to make it clear, you know, in my life, I don't want a life where we're borrowing money. I want a life where we stick to the budget. I want a life where there's parameters around our spending. And that's what I'm seeking. Like, let's have very clear, and it's not an ultimatum. It's just you being very, Dave Ramsey says, to be unclear is to be unkind. And that is what this is. You guys have been dating long enough. You're moving in together. It's time to have these serious conversations and make it super clear to her. This is what I want out of life. Is this what you want out of life? This is The Ramsey Show. Hey, what's going on, everybody? You are listening to The Ramsey Show. I'm your host, Jade Warshaw, joined by fellow co-host George Camel. And listen, if you're financially ready to buy your first home in this market, it's not because of luck. It's probably because you've been putting in the hard work and kicking butt at budgeting and saving. And we're fired up for you. We're proud of you. And we don't want your hard work to go to waste. Buying a house is the biggest purchase that you're ever going to make. So the last thing you need to do is fly solo or work with a garbage real estate agent. Even if it's your Aunt Susan, it's you. It's always the family members. Even if it's your Aunt Susan and she's a very nice lady, you know, she goes to church, you can't leave this up to an agent who's just good enough, right? You need somebody who's great. You need somebody who's fired up. They've been doing it for a minute. They know how to make you some money. You know what I'm talking about? A Ramsey trusted agent is a great agent. They set you up for success before and after closing day by helping you find the right home, keeping you on track with your goals. Hey, time out, because let me talk about that. Because these agents that you tell them, hey, I only want to spend this much, and then they're constantly showing you houses that are outside of your price range. It's a trap.
Nope.
So we need agents who are keeping you on track with your goals, making sure that you're confident in your decision. And our Ramsey Trusted Pros, or the Ramsey Trusted Pros here on our site, can get our stamp of approval, because we know that they work hard to serve you. And they're not not to pad their own paycheck. So they're working for you guys. They're not trying to do whatever makes the most sense for them on the back end.
They treat our fans right.
Yes. And so you've worked hard to buy your first home, and you don't want to do that with anyone but the best. Find a Ramsey trusted real estate agent by going to RamseySolutions.com/agent. That's RamseySolutions.com/agent. And it must be said, my Ramsey trusted real estate agent that I used, nothing but the best. The best, George, I'm telling you.
A resounding recommendation.
That's right. That's what we want to do. So let's take some questions. Our question of the day is sponsored by Neighborly, your hub for home services. If you're moving, you have a long list of to-dos, but Neighborly has local pros like Housemaster or Five Star Painting or Window Genie or the Junk King to check items off that list. Visit Neighborly.com to schedule your home service experts near you.
I might call Junk King to just go to my neighbor's houses and get all that stuff out of the garage. Like, what is people storing these days? It's crazy.
It's weird. I see people, they can't even park their cars in the garage. They got to park them.
It's a free storage unit. Why not?
It's craziness.
Well, today's question comes from Marie in South Carolina. She writes, I'm a huge fan. Thank you for all you do to help people. My question is that I recently got engaged and now have a beautiful ring, and the jeweler said I needed to get my ring insured. Is that necessary? And what's the best way to do that? Should I put it on my homeowner's plan? Great question from
Marie.
That is.
That's different.
Yeah. So I don't have a strong opinion on this. I think if it's something you're worried about and make you feel better, you have an exorbitantly expensive ring that's a pretty big part of your world, it's not going to hurt to get insurance on that. And a lot of the times you can do that through your homeowner's or renter's policy, and it may add, 1% of the value of the ring to your policy. So a $5,000 ring might be $50 a year extra to insure.
That's good. Now, I feel like we have to caveat this because some folks kind of go crazy on like the warranties and like I buy something, like on Amazon even, you buy one thing and they're like, do you want the protection? Or like Wayfair, do you want the protection on this? And this is not like an excuse to like go out and get all the warranties and insurances on all of the things, right?
We are not a fan of all these extras and warranties. And a lot of times it just makes the companies a whole lot of money, and that they know statistically the chances of you needing to use that and them actually paying out and covering it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always deductibles. So you have to pay. It's never just a free lunch here. So you got to look into the fine print of these. And remember the reason for insurance. It's to cover the things that you can't cover.
Mm-hmm.
The
absorb
things that you
can
absorb. And so my rule of thumb is if that wedding ring is going to tank you guys to replace, number one, you may be getting too expensive of a ring.
Facts.
That scares me. My wife's ring is not expensive enough that it's even worth insuring.
Yeah.
And she has a beautiful ring. Let me just say that.
I believe that, George. I believe you have great taste. My wedding ring that Sam gave me, the first, or engagement ring really, we insured it like the first 5 years because back then, it would have been a big part of our world. I think that if I had lost it, and let's be honest, the man worked hard for it. He had a paper route and everything to get this ring.
So he was a grown man.
A grown man on a paper route.
For some reason, I picture him on a bike. I know he was in a vehicle, but him on a bike, like a little mini bike, makes me happy.
Look,
just throwing those papers, like the Paperboy video game on Nintendo. Love that game.
I mean, we were in college, and he was like, hey, I've got a paper route. Can I sleep on your floor? Because you're close to my route. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Why? I didn't know that's what it was for. And then I found out that's what all
saving
the hard work was
ring.
For. All right, let's take a call. We got Aaron in Baltimore, Maryland. What's going on, Aaron?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, good. I was just talking to the gentleman. I'm about to be losing my job in about a year and a half.
Shoot.
And coming from my six-figure salary. So
that's a very specific and long time frame.
Yeah. What's the scenario surrounding this?
Yes, the scenario surrounding it is, I guess, Kohl's under attack in the United States. So basically, long story short is, I guess, they got in bed with the Sierra Club, so now we're shutting down. Mm. And we got about a year and a half of my salary income.
Sheesh.
And Maryland, I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult to find a six-figure income coming from operations, which I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I'm kind
but
of
your skills transfer.
Kind of biding my time. Say again?
Your skills transfer to other areas.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. There's a nuclear plant down south, and the majority of the plants are kind of a far, probably like an over an hour drive from me. I mean, there is some smaller plants, but
so it could mean move.
People are starting
move.
To,
It could mean you. It could mean you moving or transitioning to find the right position.
Yeah, I mean, I really do like the area I live in, but you also got to realize a lot of these people that I'm working with, we're talking about 100 people are going to be losing their jobs. So a lot of people are going to be jumping ships because it'll be very competitive trying to get a job in these other power plants. Plus, I have a family, so some of these guys that I work with are, you know, single guys. So getting up and moving is not daunting for them.
So have you started, it sounds like you've done a little bit of research. Let's do more, because I definitely would not wait. You know, I would not ride this train for the next 1.5 years.
Is there
years.
Harm if you got a job in 6 months? Could you just leave?
There's talks about a retention bonus at my job, but obviously they're dragging their feet on that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they're looking out for themselves. And, I mean, it is what it is. It's business at the end of the day. But, I mean, the problem with it is if you sign that retention bonus, obviously you have to stay to the end.
Yes.
So that's going to be a problem for me.
So that's essentially your severance.
Something.
If you stick out for a year and a half, you get some kind of severance.
So they're talking about a retention bonus and then staying to the end. But perhaps there could also be a severance package as well. But, you know, this is all question marks right now. And honestly, you know, I have 2 young children. I don't need question marks in my life.
We don't need any buzzer beater Hail Mary situations.
Right.
So I would start doing the homework now and sharpening up that resume and going, who do I know in these areas? What skills do I need to transfer to maybe a different industry completely?
That's right.
If coal and power plants are going to be, you know, a tough gig for you for the next 10 years, we got to find something sustainable.
And another part to that is making sure that you're in the best possible financial shape right now going into that. So right now, what's it look like? Do you have savings? Do you have debt? Can you roll that out for us briefly?
Yeah, so... briefly I'll roll out to you. So I guess savings account, I got about $15,000. Checking, I got about $15,000. I did open a little business recently with junk removal. It seems like everybody's moving in that
direction. How much debt do you have?
All right, so let's see. About $80,000 in car loans, $220,000 in house loans, and $8,000 on a dump trailer, and that's it.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. The game plan is to do that research to find out about work, but in the meantime, we are cleaning up the mess of this debt. We are keeping $1,000 saved for baby step one, and then we're working that debt snowball to pay off as much debt as possible so that you can feel comfortable going into this transition. Yeah. And then, of course, any and all extra money you can pull in. You mentioned you had a side gig going on. Let's kick it.
I'm probably selling one or both of these cars.
That's
that is
also,
way too much car
facts.
For the situation you're in.
Yeah, you've got some work to do, but you can do it, Aaron. We're pulling for you. This is The Ramsey Show. What's going on, everybody? I am Jade Warshaw, your host, joined by George Camel, and you're listening to The Ramsey Show. Hey, if you want to give us a call today, the number is 888-825-5225. We'd be happy to take your call. But in the meantime, we've got our scripture and our quote of the day. This is one of my favorite parts of the hour, George. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." One version says a sound mind, which I love that one. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. And then, of course, we've got this one from Alanis Morissette. Happy birthday, Alanis Morissette. Courage and willingness to just go for it, whether it is conversation or a spontaneous trip or trying new things that are scary. It is a really attractive quality. So get out there, get crazy. Now, we're not talking about YOLO, Alanis.
It's different.
None of that YOLO business.
Where else can you get some 1 Timothy and Alanis in one segment? I mean, only on The Ramsey Show.
Isn't it ironic? Hey!
Got him.
Here we go. Got him. It's not ironic at all, but I had to say that. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Alyssa on line one. What's going on, Alyssa? Phoenix.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. So my husband and I have been saving for a home here in Phoenix for about the past 3 years through COVID. We are now priced out of the market. And so basically our question is, should we stay here in Phoenix and try to make it work buying a house, even if it might be some financial stress, or should we move and go out of state, even though our friends and family are still here in Phoenix?
Well, I appreciate the question, but let's look at what you're saying here, because is it really... priced out of the market. I get it. A lot of people, it's like,
yeah,
as fast as they save, the prices just keep going up, right? And it's hard to keep up with that and outpace that so that you can actually buy. So completely valid. I get that. But what you first said to me is it worth it, even though it would be basically, you know, beyond your means, right? You'd be strapped for cash. You'd have all these issues. Mm-hmm. No, that's not worth it. It's absolutely not worth it. If you're going to buy a house, you want it to be a blessing and never a burden. That's no fun. You'll start to resent the house. You'll hate the property. It'll make you dislike going to work, right? Because nobody wants to work just to be in that rat wheel, right, George? Mm. So that is a no-go.
I feel like there's other options.
That's right.
Like, if we can't live in Phoenix, we're getting out of the entire state. Is there another option, which is, okay, maybe we do a townhome that's 30 minutes out of the city? You know what I mean? Are there other things you guys could look at, temper the expectations, compromise a little bit? Hey, we're going to save up for another year, whatever we can afford at that time, in whatever location in the area, we're going to go for. So where are you guys at in that regard?
Well, we are currently living with his parents. We have a baby. So my husband's working. I'm at home with the baby. We currently have about $80,000 saved for a down payment.
That's great.
We don't have any debt. So we really want to buy, but we want to make sure that with just one income coming in that we'd be able to afford our mortgage.
And why is there only one income coming in?
I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
With a baby.
What's he make?
Sorry, before you get to that, can I pause quick, George? I just want to challenge you on this because George and I have talked about this several times. The dream is being a stay-at-home mom. So many folks have that dream, but you've got to ask yourself in this season with what you're saying you want, is it feasible? Are you able to go into the marketplace and earn more than the cost of daycare so that you can accomplish this goal of getting this down payment? That's a little sidebar for you to think of, because a lot of times we kind of feel like, oh, I can just do this. But then we complain about what it means on the financial implication. So just throwing that out there for you to think about. Okay, George.
Oh, that's a good word. So you're saying with his income currently, you're not going to be able to afford a home. So like Jade's saying, what is his current income?
He makes $80,000 with his 9-to-5 and then $10,000 with a side hustle.
Awesome.
About 90.
Okay. Yeah. And you have $80,000 saved. What is a home, like the homes you've been looking at, how much do they cost?
They're on average about $450,000, $460,000.
Okay. So the take home on a 15-year fix, which is the only one I'd recommend, if you put $80,000 down on a house that's $450,000, that would be a $3,900 mortgage payment. Which is a lot of your take-home pay, right?
Yeah.
So just thinking about that number, you're going, we couldn't breathe. And so that tells me we either have to temper the expectations, wait another year or two and have 120 down or 150 down, or we need to go, we're going to get a condo or townhome because we really want it. Or like Jade said, I may have to go back to work for a season for the next year in order to make this happen. And one day I'll be able to go back and accomplish this dream in a way where it doesn't set us back financially with our other goals.
That's right, because mathematically, you don't want to be more than 25% of your take-home pay on that mortgage. Otherwise, you will feel the strain. It will be stressful, and you're going to go like, why did I do this? So these are the things that you're going to have to weigh out. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, John Deloney might say, yeah, pick a place on the map and move there. You know, you're free. You can do what you want. And if that aligns with you guys' personality, then be my guest. If you're like, look, Phoenix, peace out. Like, y'all are too expensive. We're going to Kansas. Then that's also up to you too. But I like what George said. Sometimes we paint ourselves into a corner and it's either we can do this or we can do that. And those are our only two options. And I'm hoping that we kind of illuminated the fact that there's a lot of options for you. You've just got to decide. The main thing here is you've got to have that boundary around, we're not going to buy a house unless we're able to buy it the right way, unless it's affordable and it fits within those parameters. 15-year fixed rate mortgage where the payment is no more than 25% of your take home. That's what we're looking for. Great call, Alyssa. Yeah. I loved that. Let's go to Taylor right quick. I think we can handle it. Taylor, we're slightly against the clock, but tell us about your situation.
Hi, guys. Yeah, so my husband and I are baby step four, so we're trying to contribute our 15%. We're both contributing to our 401ks, and we'll contribute to one Roth. We're just not hitting or meeting that goal of 15%, because we're also trying to save for a future surgery that we know is going to be about $11,000.
Okay.
So the question is that okay for us to just do what we're doing and then save the money and handle that and then move up to the 15%? Or in this stage, should we be pushing for the 15% while also saving?
Is there a, are you, I mean, not to get too personal, but is the surgery elective or is it something that's like, I got to get this done?
It's something that we got to get done.
Okay. I mean, if you, for your health, if you got to get done, then you got to save up for it. Yeah.
How quickly could you save up? Let's say you invested, you got to 15%. How much longer would it take? Could you delay the surgery or is it something that has a very specific timeline?
It's a specific timeline. So it's going to be about a year's time. I think we can still do it by pushing up to the 15%, but it's just, you know, taking away from, you know, some margin that is going towards that.
If I'm in your shoes, here's what I would do personally if this was my family. I'm going to find a way to create more income for the next year so that I can invest 15%, we have that going, and I can save up $11,000 for the surgery. Because you're talking about $1,000 a month to save up for the surgery from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any money right now in the bank?
Oh, yeah, we have our 6 months. We have $18,000
for
that.
Okay, great.
That's good. That's good. And I love that you're not just going, oh, we'll just use the emergency fund to pay for it. Because in this case, it wouldn't be an emergency. You know it's coming. Yeah, it's not unexpected. So that's good. I like that you guys are doing that. Yeah, I'm with George. If you have the ability to get your income up and to still be able to do both, that's great. If for, can't think of a reason why, but if for some reason there's no option and it's, you know, causing you guys to do some weird things, and maybe, I mean, I don't know if you're in, if you go down to, I just can't see it making a huge difference. Yeah. Going from 15% down to 13%.
Yeah. And you can make $100 a night doing a side hustle. And if each of you did that a few nights a week, there's your $1,000 right there.
I like that, George.
So that would be my personal goal. If you need to scale back and kind of call this a storm because this is a health situation, and you need to scale back investing, we're not going to yell at you.
Right.
You're going to be okay. but my personal goal would be to hit that milestone and save up on top of that.
That's right. Thanks for the call, Taylor. That's so good, George. You know, sometimes you really have to look at the dollars and cents on something and go, all right, if the difference is $200, how quickly could I make that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I really have to pull from this or can I just go out and get my,
there's always
get my fingernails
C
dirty?
That we're not thinking about.
That's right. I love it. Well, guys, that does it for this hour of the show. Be sure to join us next time. And remember, you can tell me you won't do it, but don't tell me that you can't. With God, all things are possible. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jade. Look, if you like what you heard in this episode and want to know more about getting started on the Ramsey Baby Steps, go to RamseySolutions.com and click the Get Started button. We'll help you figure out the best next step for you based on your specific situation. That's RamseySolutions.com and click Get Started.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.